My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Welcome in to the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Christian Osero. I am joined, as always, by my partner, Jay Binkley.
You sure this time that we're going to do a show?
Yeah, we're doing a show this time.
Sorry about last week, people. Yeah, but things rain delay crazy at the baseball stadium with the Royals, so we had to call it late. We're doing it later today, later because of when Chris gets here and I get here, so we're doing it a little bit later. So we had to do a bit of a show at night with the rain delay. So we're sorry about that, but you know what? I don't think you missed anything because we would have been previewing not a lot of great matchups, especially with prospect purposes, this last week. But next week, Chris, we have six games between ranked opponents, and man, do we have some serious prospects.
Right, and you know, now that we're going to start getting more into conference play, there's going to be a lot of better matchups. And we did see a really good matchup there between Florida and Tennessee on Saturday night.
It was fun for you.
It was very fun for me. I enjoyed that game very much. My Florida Gators prevailed and pulled off the upset against Tennessee, who, by the way, has not won in Gainesville since 2003. So,
you know, here's one thing about that game. First of all, you know, props to Graham Mertz.
Yeah.
It wasn't a spectacular game, but he wears Tebow's number. That's a little weird. He wears Tebow's number. But he's from Kansas City. From Blue Valley North High School,
right,
leading the Gators. But I'll tell you, his draft stock took a hit. Joe Milton. Joe Milton was a starter at Tennessee, got hurt. Hendon Hooker takes his place. Hendon Hooker's now in the NFL. Hendon Hooker, before he got hurt last year, was on a Heisman trajectory for the Heisman Trophy. Milton has a strong arm. He was supposed to be the guy. Not a good look for that draft prospect. You want as many quarterbacks as you can get to go round one. That's why I always pull for these guys, because it makes the Chiefs draft pick look better because everybody else is getting quarterbacks. Very surprised by that game.
Yeah, it was Milton hasn't quite looked the part, and he definitely
did. He's got a great arm, too.
He does have a great arm. He just doesn't have the accuracy. And I think you saw that on display on Saturday night. But yeah, it was a good week of college football. There's a lot of really good games there. You know, speaking of quarterbacks, news just came out this afternoon. Kansas City Chiefs have agreed to a new contract with Patrick Mahomes. Does not create any new money whatsoever on the deal, but he does get more. They essentially move some of the money that was in the latter part of the deal over to the next 4 years.
It created a lot of tweets, though.
Yeah, it did. It created a storm, and, you know. Does this change anything for the Chiefs?
No, not really. It saves about $2.5 million for cap money.
Yeah,
$2.5 to $3.5 million.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean,
it kind of saves
conflicting
for this year.
Numbers there.
But what they're doing is they can in 2026. He'll be one of the most underpaid quarterbacks in the NFL. That's the situation you're looking at. But obviously, they'll give him a new one. They might even restructure it longer. Remember, this isn't a restructure that he got. Does free up some money, but it's 4 years and around $210 million. It's the most we've ever seen in a four-year span. Don't forget, Joe Burrow got a bag too, and it's 5 years, $275 million. So every you crack it, but Burrow, Herbert, Mahomes all making a similar kind of money. Mahomes technically making more. They'll readdress this in 2026. But no, it was something that you knew was going to be done. I didn't think it'd take this long. I thought they would have this done. But they created some space. Maybe they have a little money to play with now at this point, and still got to get Jones. Once Jake Jones' contract hits, you got to start being able to save some money.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about it is that I don't think it obviously doesn't change anything right now. Maybe the Chiefs decide to go get another guy. I'm not sure. I mean, the financials aren't.
Maybe Carlos Dunlap. Maybe. That guy. But here's the one thing about it.
You're getting Minshew back.
What I've always been curious is when you give the quarterbacks the bag, can you still win? Because when you give your quarterbacks the bag, you got to start drafting well.
Yeah.
And you got to start grabbing guys in the fifth, sixth, seventh round to make a difference for your team. All right, we've seen Mahomes get the bag. We've seen Josh Allen get it. You know what? Josh Allen's not exactly delivering Super Bowls. Mahomes won one. And he had 17% of the cap, which is more money than anybody ever made as a starting quarterback winning a Super Bowl. You know why? Chiefs drafted well. They had five rookies last year, defensive backs, playing in that game. They had 61 starts by rookies last season. You've got to be able to hit in the fifth, sixth, and seventh round. Cincinnati, we're about to find out, because they don't pay anybody usually. They did pay Burrow. But again, once you pay the quarterbacks, can you still win? It's very important because you got to draft well and you got to make shrewd moves. You can't just pay Joe Burrow and say, all right, we're good. No, you still got T. Higgins. You got Jamar Chase. You got Tyler Boyd. You got a lot of stuff going beyond that. But pressure's on front offices. When you pay your quarterback, you better start drafting extremely well.
Yeah, and
extremely well.
And the Chiefs have the precedent of having done that the last few years. So
they gave the bag and they won.
Yeah. So this doesn't change anything right now. I'll be interested to see if they can restructure some of that contract if they need to. Like, for instance, they've had the ability to take some of that, because most of his money's been paid in roster bonus, not an actual salary.
It's a floating gift.
Yeah.
And the way people are looking, oh, Mahomes underpaid. No, he's not. They're always going to, this is a handshake agreement
right.
with these guys. They're going to take care of him. They understand he is the same.
Right. But basically, the structure is just roster bonus that they can redo every year when they need to.
Yeah.
They just have to do it early. Well, I wouldn't be shocked if they could do the exact same thing with this contract now, which means that all this moving around of money means nothing. If they could just do the same things that they were doing before, where you could just take some of that roster bonus money and then spread it out as a signing bonus.
Yeah.
They would restructure it as a signing bonus and then spread it out over the next few years. If they could do that, then it means nothing.
Well, it
literally
big
means nothing.
When he signed it, they knew they were going to play. He wasn't going to get it because guys were going to get other contracts. 10 years, man.
Right. Yeah.
Of course, guys are going to get some other contracts.
Yeah.
By then, but it frees things up. But one thing is for certain. They had the draft. They had to get the Trey Smith. You've got to get the Najee Johnsons. You got to get Trey McDuffie.
Well, let's wait on Najee Johnson first.
Well, I know he got hurt this year. They played the Super Bowl last year.
Let's wait on Najee first.
But he's
before
one of the
we
Fab Five, like Jalen Watson.
Yeah, let's wait on him. Yeah,
they look good. They look good. And as I long said, I do believe this is a top 10 defense. But
they certainly have played like it in the first 2 weeks of the season. The other big contract that came out, we were going to talk about this last week before the Royals decided that they weren't going to play their game and last Monday, is Chris Jones. Some people were calling it an extension. It's not an extension. They just rework his deal for this year. Basically, put in incentives into his contract, allowing him to earn the money back that he lost from the fines, and he could earn up to like $800,000 more than what he would have made this year. How, like, two-part thing here. How confident are you that they can bring him back? And if they can't, does defensive tackle now become your biggest concern going into 2024?
It has to be. And I'll tell you, I'll add this in too as a little caveat to it. With Coburn Snacks from Texas, who I thought was going to get more snaps than any rookie this year, from a defensive tackle was inactive last week. Were you surprised by that? I was a little bit surprised by that because you're thinking, okay, here's a guy for the future, for the rotation, like a Derek Nnadi type piece on that defensive line, a guy that they got in the draft who they got him later than what probably we thought Coburn might have gone for this year. But, yeah, it changes things because, again, you can't just go find a Chris Jones. That's been the new thing at the draft this year, and especially the combine. Can you play inside and outside? It's what these teams love asking these players. The Chiefs went out in free agency and got him into him. It lines up a lot over the offensive tackle. He lines up on the outside, lines up everywhere. But this new age style player, like Jones playing outside and inside, is extremely valuable. Something they're all looking for draft picks. Who can be that guy? It's a little bit concerning. I don't know. I lean towards he won't be back. I leaned 100% that they were going to give him the extension before training camp. I was the one that really bought in to that. I think that they might have thought they were going to get this deal done by then. But it makes defensive line a priority. I put it right there up with the wide receiver and tied in for the Kansas City Chiefs defensive line. They've done well with it. We look at how good this defense is. They've spent a lot of equity on defensive backs. I mean, you got to think they've spent a lot of equity on this defense.
Yeah.
Building up the linebacker core, but then there's the Willie Gay issue. You going to bring him back or not? So we got to figure out the linebacker situation. Drew Tranquil came over on a one-year deal. I think they need to extend that deal out. But Chris Jones wants to be here. You saw his value. You saw his value when he played. Just the pressure that he did in the beginning, and Carl Loftus and Mike Dana got half sacks each, all because of Chris Jones. So it's not the sacks he gets. It's what he can deliver. But I'm leaning this point because he's over 30. That doesn't mean a lot to the Chiefs because they do have seven or eight guys on this roster with 30 years old. Some are special talents like Travis Kelce and Harrison Butker's actually not 30. He's 28 in Winchester and these guys. But I would lean towards no because if Chris Jones has the year I think he's going to, he's going to command probably a salary that they can't afford.
It's possible. I think that the Chiefs are absolutely going to have to eye defensive tackle this year for sure. I think from what we've heard, they clearly were during the first round with Mozzie Smith. I think that they are very much wanting to prioritize guys that can play on the inside, and it's the reason why Dana has been very valuable for them. And if anything, this could mean that Dana ends up staying on the team longer because
Felix looks good.
Felix looks good.
They spent resources on the edge with two first-round picks in the last 2 years, and Carl Loftus and
and if Felix continues to look good, then that and Dana continues to look good as well. Dana probably takes a spot there on the inside,
but
at least on pass rushing downs. Yes, I'm saying, but like the biggest thing though is you're worried about who's going to be the other defensive tackle. Well, now, if Dana keeps playing well on the inside, he's probably going to be your pass rushing defensive tackle opposite of Minnehue on third downs. And then you have Felix and Carl Loftus on the outside because clearly they're very comfortable. Dana was kind of playing the Chris Jones role when in week one against the Lions when they did not have him. So
I think Minnehue's effect changes kind of how they view Jones.
Yeah, and certainly, obviously, we still haven't seen him play in the regular season.
He's going to come in fresh as hell.
Oh, he will. Yeah, he's got a lot of weeks to rest his body. So, but I just feel like the way that Dan is playing right now, he might be earning himself some more time with the team, and I certainly think they'll probably look maybe not first round, because I think that like offensive tackle and. And wide receiver might be more pertinent for them. But certainly over the next, second day, they might be looking at defensive tackle there. Go and get you a guy that needs some work, but certainly fits that role that you like from a standpoint of being more of a pass rusher type. Because right now they've got a lot of run-stopping guys like Derek Nnadi. But they're going to obviously want to load up and get another guy in the rotation on the inside.
Yeah, so. I think the defensive line kind of takes a precedent. I would not go first round on that, as crazy as that sounds.
There's good depth at defensive tackle in this year's
because
draft.
I am so much for getting guys that are on again, Mike Dan is a guy that's an unrestricted free agent this year. So
right.
Finding a guy, they've been very good at finding rotational pieces.
Yeah.
But me, personally, Chris, I'm loading up the bread and butter of this team, which is their offense.
Yeah, you said that, and then they didn't do that. They didn't do that the last 2 years. So, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if they
well, it's
did
time. It's
get
time.
Some get some defense there.
It's time.
And then you have this great story in the first 2 weeks of the NFL season. Puka Nacua, wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams, right now leads league in receptions after the first 2 weeks.
He had 20 targets last week. Puka, now this is an example of a guy that basically, there's a lot of combine he didn't do. Ran a 4.57,
right,
a 40 this pro day. But then you think, okay, how would he slip? How would he slip to the fifth round? That's the question. How is a guy this good, leads the National Football League in receptions, had 15 this past, 15 catches this week to go with 10 the week before, 100 yards in back-to-back games. This is where doing your scouting comes in, because this was a guy that caught less than 700 yards at BYU, but he ran for 200 yards. And he's a BYU guy. I'm sure there was some interest there with the Chiefs, him being a BYU guy, and so versatile, can play on the inside and outside. But Puka is a pure example of grabbing a guy in the fifth round who starts for the team, who's been a real surprise. And sometimes you have to overlook the 40 times a little bit and look at football speed and look at route running and look at football players. And Puka kind of defies that. He's 4.57. That's too slow for a receiver. Well, he's got 25 catches in 2 games. He is one of those outliers, I think, and he's been a real steal in the draft for the Rams.
I think a lot of people just, the problem, and I've told this to so many people that have asked me about this, drafting is an inexact science. And a lot of times it's really hard to figure out who's good and who isn't, because there's so many different factors that allow people to showcase their talent at the collegiate level. Take a guy like Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson, also BYU player. He was a quarterback and really kind of made his name in the COVID year in 2020, when a lot of these teams were playing consolidated schedules and were not playing a lot of really good teams outside of conference.
Quarterback dilemma.
Yeah. And so you have this situation where, like, BYU is not playing a whole bunch of banger teams on their schedule.
They added Coastal Carolina midweek that year.
Yeah. Like, they're not playing, they weren't playing.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This great schedule, and I think that probably affects their reputation. And so you look at their situation, there's probably a lot of people that are like, oh, well, you know, he didn't look that great against great competition. It wasn't like Rashee Rice, who went out and had over 1,300 receiving yards at SMU in a group of five conference. It was BYU who was independent last year and was not playing the toughest of schedules. It'll be different now, I think, but like I think a lot of it is also teams do fall in love with the measurables, with the 40 times, the cone times, you know, what you see at the workout. And because of that, a lot of these guys end up slipping through the cracks because you're more worried about the measurables than you are.
It's less need with these young GMs that does his homework. Right. And build a team. Matt Stafford didn't know their names. I remember they was like,
yeah, he didn't. Yeah, he didn't know anybody's name. Yeah.
Players. But this is a team that's gone young, man. There's two guys over 30 years old for the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Donald, Matt Stafford.
Right.
And you give those guys a pass, being over 30 years old. But they're building it young and going out and getting a guy like Puka in the fifth round. It reminds me of getting Trey Smith in the sixth round that everybody else passes on and made mistakes.
It made sense with Trey Smith, at least, though, because of the medical aspect.
Like Jalen Carter, which is my steal of the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all thought that Jalen Carter was going to be the steal of the draft. It was very – him falling was like, okay, yeah, there's going to be some teams out there that wish they had taken him. I mean, I understand why they didn't, but I think – everyone knew that kid was going to be really talented. So going on to the weekly prospect recap, I want to start with the guy that we have talked about pretty consistently as the top tight end in the draft class, which is Brock Bowers out of Georgia. And he had in Georgia's win over South Carolina this past week, 7 catches, 54 yards. On the season, he has 13 catches for 135 yards. How are you assessing Brock Bowers' performance thus far in the season?
Brock Bowers, I mean, you have to look at the back-to-back national champions and they have a 20-game winning streak at this point. It was 19,
yeah.
It was 20. He's been a big part of that. He's been our best pass catcher at Georgia. He's been their main weapon, but he's starting to draw that attention. He gets everybody's attention because you shut down Brock Bowers, that's who leads Georgia. That's the guy. So he does get extra attention. He's the closest guy, I think, to Travis Kelce in college football right now. The blends that, you know, you can split him out wide, you can inside, the catches, everything thrown to him. I do like Jatavion Sanders a ton at Texas. Like, I'm a big fan of his. I think those are definitely head and shoulders above the two best tight ends. But I do still think there's a gap between Brock Bowers. I know his production may not want, but he's getting used to a new quarterback now. Stetson Bennett's gone. It's Carson Beck, the quarterback now at Georgia, but he still is that main receiving option, as he has been for Georgia. And I know he is garnering extra attention, but they haven't really wound things up yet. They haven't needed – well, last week was one of those weeks, okay, they got a new offensive coordinator at Georgia. They're trying to acclimate that because Munkin left this past year, so he's trying to bring Mike Bobo in and trying to change things at Georgia. But I look at, okay, offensive coordinator changes, extra attention he's getting. I still think at this point Brock Bowers is still my top tight end.
Because I think that you could make a very good case that Jatavion Sanders is catching up to him. He has been more productive this year. Less catches, 7 catches. But he has 158 yards, 2 touchdowns this year. And we've seen him, it's not just like those Gronk touchdowns where it's just you throw up a 50-50 ball, he pulls it out.
Using like they should.
Yeah, like he's able to, like he's a yards after the catch kind of tight end.
But Alabama,
too.
He dominated.
Yeah,
and that's important. Who you dominated?
Yeah, he led the team in receiving in that game against Alabama, and we've seen this guy, you know, catch passes, get yards after the catch for a touchdown. I think Sanders might end up pushing himself up there and really challenging Bowers for that top tight end spot if he continues having the kind of year that he's having, because the athleticism, I think, is the big thing for these tight ends now.
And the one thing about Bowers seems generational to me. It seems like such a fit for the Chiefs offense and what they like to do. And they covet those SEC guys. I know Texas is going to the SEC. That's fine, but they covet those guys, especially Georgia players. I mean, the Chiefs absolutely love those type of guys. I'll never forget John Dorsey when he had the media could go in and watch and ask him draft questions.
Right.
And one of his biggest sticking points, and he was good at drafting. Dorsey was good at drafting. And maybe not signing contracts, but he's good at drafting.
Yeah, he's terrible at the
but
contracts.
The one
aspect
thing that stood out to me was looking at film, and he goes, who'd you play? Let's watch film of that. Like, I don't care if you played Middle Tennessee State. Did you play Alabama? Did you play somebody like that? That's where Jatavion Sanders checks the box because of what he did against Alabama. But he always looked at, okay, who are you doing this game? And Bowers has huge games against great competition.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens as we start, you know, migrating here into the conference season. Although they did play South Carolina, it was a pesky team for Georgia much of that game.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, at one point South Carolina was looking like they might pull off that upset. So,
which I still put Spencer Rattler maybe in the first round.
I definitely don't.
disagree.
Now making over to the quarterbacks, though. It's very obvious Caleb Williams is that top quarterback still in the draft class. They had the week off this week at
USC.
Who
plays Shedeur Sanders in Colorado?
Yeah. So that's going to be a big matchup there. But right now, I think there's a very good battle for that number two quarterback spot, because you got Drake May, who's not having an excellent year, but he's still having a pretty good year.
The interceptions are up for May.
The interceptions are a problem. Four picks this year, but it's just as many picks as he has touchdowns, four each. He has almost 900 passing yards. Then you've got Quinn Ewers, 740 passing yards, 8 touchdowns. You got J.J. McCarthy, 716 yards, 7 touchdowns, 3 picks. Probably needs to cut back on those interceptions. Shedeur Sanders, you just brought up, over 1,200 passing yards, 12 touchdowns, 1 pick. And then the guy that I would take right now as the number two quarterback behind Caleb Williams, Michael Penix Jr. out of Washington, who right now leads the FBS in passing yards, 1,332, 12 touchdowns, 1 pick. That's my guy. Michael Penix Jr. of Washington's my guy. Even though he's got great weapons there, he's my guy right now that I would take at the second quarterback behind Caleb Williams.
Oh, I've been a huge Penix fan the whole time, man.
Yeah.
You know, man, my feelings on Michael Penix. And you look at those receivers with Jalen McGillion.
He's got two NFL wide receivers.
He's got two NFL wide receivers. It's important. But Penix is delivering. A former Indiana quarterback that transferred to Washington, his second year there. You're not going to get any arguments with me on Penix, because I love the way that he plays, calm and cool in the pocket. Shedeur Sanders probably doing the most, the least, like all these new faces and, you know, what he's doing at Colorado with this offense. Because
he's got some good receivers.
No, he does. Oh, great receivers.
Like Hunter and Weaver are very good receivers.
They're bringing two from South Florida.
Yeah.
His transfers. But the one thing about Shedeur is Colorado had two receivers over 100 yards all of last season. There was four in week one.
Well, yeah, they brought in a brand new crop of receivers. Yeah. That's why he's not throwing to the same guys. So I think that's made it easier for him to go out there and succeed.
And leadership coaching, man, that can't be slighted. That's why I looked at like Bryce Young in this year's draft class. All right, the guys really like him.
Yeah.
Like he takes the guys out to eat, hangs out with them. It's that Mahomes effect, man. Mahomes sits there and plays video games with people. Marquez Valdes-Scantling has these celebrity softball games. Mahomes shows up. Like, it matters. That quarterback leadership stuff does matter.
Yeah, I agree with you on
100%.
That. 100%. And I think
probably one of the biggest things.
Yeah, I do think it is. And that's a big part, him being the coach's son.
It's like Zach Wilson, who really follows and rallies behind him and runs through a wall for him.
No, well, nobody does. He doesn't really seem like he has much like leadership Burrow, qualities. Yeah,
Trevor Lawrence, they do.
Yeah. To me, the whole interesting thing about this scenario is that for me, I look at, like, who looks the most comfortable running their offense? Who looks the most comfortable making those big-time throws? Right now, I mean, I think it's Michael Penix Jr. right behind Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams right now is doing things that you just don't see players do
at
the collegiate
level. I'm with you on Penix.
I think right now, if I were to take a bet on who's going to be the second quarterback taken, I think Michael Penix Jr. is your guy. And that doesn't mean that Drake May can't, you know, surpass him and get back up there. But, like, Penix is leading college football right now in passing yards. He's tied for third in touchdowns thrown. So the man knows what he's doing.
And as far as May, you have to be careful. I remember Josh Allen didn't have a good last year at Wyoming. He did the year before,
right,
when he was losing the other,
yeah.
You know, when they played their Power 5 teams, he'd lose. And he didn't have a good year. And I was like, oh, it's going to hurt him through the draft. So sometimes you have to be careful.
I mean, it did hurt him a bit.
But
it
Penix, hey, there's four quarterbacks that are outstanding in the Pac-12.
Right.
100% they're outstanding.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm really excited about watching Washington take on some of those other teams, take on Oregon, take on USC there in the Pac-12, because that's going to be a really fun matchup, and you're probably going to see him be in a position where he can improve his draft stock even more. And then as far as the final topic here on our prospect watch here, Jared Verse has long been considered the top edge rusher in the pass rusher in general in this draft class. I think, though, one name that we're kind of sleeping on, Liatu Latu, UCLA. This kid, he can play on the edge. He can play on the inside. He's about 6'3", 6'4", 265. Big kid. Got 4 sacks already in 3 games this year for the Bruins. Big thing, last year, this kid was 10.5 sacks. He's already almost 40% of the way there after 3 games. Obviously, I don't think it's fair to expect him to just go out there and, you know, rack up a sack every single game. But I think Latu could put himself in that position to where we are having a discussion about who the top edge rusher is in, you know, come springtime as we get ready for the draft.
Even that versatility, he's got an interception. He's got an interception.
Yeah, they do everything with him.
But 6'5", 265 for Latu. And we get to see him this week in a good game. It's a Utah, UCLA, Utah. Not sure if Cam Rising, the quarterback from Utah, is going to be back yet for this one.
Yeah, he's been hurt all year.
He has been, but it's one of those top 4 quarterbacks in the Pac-12. But, you know, top 25 matchup, again, one of these great matchups, UCLA going against Utah. This will be a good game for Latu. This will be a great game. We're going to be watching him a lot in this game.
So getting on to our money makers there, players that we think have made themselves the most money here over the last week, in this case, last 2 weeks. I got a couple of guys that I think have made themselves a lot of money. Number one, I just brought him up, Michael Penix Jr., quarterback out of Washington. I very much think that people were buying it, like still giving Drake May that number 2 spot. I think now Drake May's very much, especially because of the turnovers. And, you know, I say this about quarterbacks at the collegiate levels. If they have turnover problems at the collegiate level, they're probably going to struggle at the professional level. It was one of the things that concerned me about Josh Allen a little bit when he was in college, and it's gotten worse now. Like, it wasn't much of a problem the last few years. This year, it hasn't been good thus far. And it really, over the last few years, in key games, he's had issues with turnovers. Sam Darnold was a guy that had turnover issues when he was at USC. Now, he's a backup. He's the backup in San Francisco because he can't hold on to the football. Drake May, I think, has hurt himself with those interceptions. And a guy in Michael Penix Jr., who had an opportunity to really improve his draft stock, I think, has really grabbed the bull by the horns there. And I think he's made himself some money.
And teams keep winning. It's important that North Carolina and one of his top targets can't play. The transfer from Kent State can't play with North Carolina at this point. That's been
unfortunate.
That's been an issue.
I know Mac Brown's been very unhappy with that.
When you got guys playing for 3 and 4 schools, it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, where's Eric Gilbert at now?
And JT Daniels, a quarterback of Rice. Starting quarterback at West Virginia. I know. Rice.
Is he on his
USC,
third team?
Georgia.
Is
no,
on
fourth.
He has 4 team
the only
now.
Quarterback to start a 4 different Division 1 teams.
It's ridiculous. And, I mean, I remember watching him play at West Virginia last year, and then now he's at a new school. So, yeah. Very unfortunate there for North Carolina and for Drake May. Another guy, I think, has really stepped his game up this year and really, I think, he's not going to be a first rounder because he's a running back. But Audric Estime from Notre Dame, who has just been on fire, leads FBS in rushing yards right now. He's tied for 4th in rushing touchdowns. This past week, 20 carries for 176 yards and a touchdown. I definitely think his quarterback, Sam Hartman, has been good as well and certainly has helped the team. But Esteem is just out there. He's a true workhorse. And at the collegiate level, having a true workhorse running back helps make your team a hell of a lot better. And I think he's in a position where he could be a second-day pick for a team that has one of these running backs that are looking for a second contract.
He's averaging 8.3 yards a carry.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Almost a first down.
It's ridiculous.
He had, his past week, 8.8 yards per carry. The week before, 9.6. Then 8.9, then 5.9 was his low point. But, yeah, he's getting the job done. Definitely Penix on there. My guy that's kind of really standing out, too, is obviously I'm going to stay with Penix because it's ridiculous numbers. Like, text you after you're like, hey, you see what Penix is doing?
Yeah, he's killing it right
now. He's like throwing up these massive numbers that we haven't seen anymore. But this is a guy that I know that Hunter gets all the credit and stuff for Colorado. But there's a receiver that's really, really showing up for the Colorado Buffaloes. And
I know you're talking about.
And that's Xavier Weaver.
Yeah.
And I've been impressed with this guy since the beginning. Against TCU, 6 for 118. He was the forgotten guy. Nobody's talking about him. Then he follows it up against Nebraska with 10 for 170. Then against Colorado State, 9 for 98 in a touchdown. So touchdowns are back-to-back weeks. But Xavier Worthy may not have the size you're looking for. He's 6'1",
170.
Could add some more weight to him at 6'1". There, yeah. But keep an eye on Xavier Weaver from Colorado. This is, and you know what, he's with Hunter being out the next 3 weeks because that cheap shot, which sucks,
yeah,
that you're going to see a lot of Xavier Weaver.
I think that, and I agree with you, I think he's top five right now in receiving yards in the FBS. He's definitely a guy, I think, especially with Hunter being out. He's actually, it's funny because, like, you know, everybody's been talking about Travis Hunter. He's been their best wide receiver in Colorado. He's killing it.
Well, Horn's been good too.
Horn's been good too.
The transfer. But the thing about Weaver is, all right, he's got 25 catches, Horn 26. But here's the difference. 15.4
right.
Average yards per reception for Weaver. Horn's at 9.5.
Yeah.
Hunter was at 13.3. At 15.4 and you've got 25 catches,
right?
You are creating some separation.
That's what I'm saying.
This is what you're looking for in a wide receiver.
He's a big play guy. He's a guy you could throw to down the field. Again, he's been their best wide receiver this year. And it's just, I think he's kind of putting himself up to there where he could be maybe a second or third round pick, late second, somewhere early to mid third round pick. He could be a very good option for a team looking to get a steal on the second day.
For the South Florida transfers. He had over the two leading receivers, Colorado South Florida. Yeah. And they could have used him against Alabama.
Right. He's a senior this year for Colorado from South Florida. Spent a lot of years. He was 3 years there. Pretty productive last couple years. But this year, he really is really starting to take off there.
And I think one of the things you're noticing with these receivers, this is just different class because they're bigger.
Yeah, all these guys are big. All these guys are 5'11 plus.
This is a good year for the teams like the Chiefs looking for that guy.
Yeah, I mean, this is a year where the Chiefs don't have to go first round
with
the receiver. They could afford to go get one second day, maybe or early third day, but probably second day, and you could get someone that kind of fits the mold of what they like with the speed and the versatility as far as being able to move inside, outside. There's going to be options there, I think, for them. Certainly, obviously.
I never bought the excuses that were used on receivers last year. I was like, sit there and watch Zay Flowers. See what he can do.
He's been great.
He's been great.
He's been awesome.
And some of these rookie receivers have been good. And we talked about Puka going in the fifth round. I mean, the receivers are there. And this year, the receivers are going to get a lot of talk, just like the quarterbacks, obviously. Because we could have the more quarterbacks here in the first round than we did going back to 1983.
Yeah, it could be. It is very possible that it's a record year for the quarterback
in the first round.
So, want to get to our Week 4 watch list. Teams to watch, players to watch. I think the big one, the one that everyone's going to be talking about this week, Colorado taking on Oregon. Colorado has become box office television. They have become the most interesting team in college football. And you've got big quarterback matchup here. Shedeur Sanders, potential first-round quarterback. Bo Nix, probably not a first-round. You heard him talked about at the beginning of the year. Not quite there right now. Maybe a second-day guy.
Bo Nix was looked at as a first-round guy. Yeah. Shedeur was
potential
not.
Late first-round.
Now,
yeah.
Shedeur. Now, Mel Kiper is his third-best quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, Mel Kiper's Mel Kiper, though. But Bo Nix is probably going to be, I think, somewhere in the mix second-day. Going to be a project guy, similar to like what Hendon Hooker was.
Depends, though, man. He's still flirting with first-round.
Possibly. I kind of have my doubts about Nix. But you also have Xavier Weaver, who we just talked about, wide receiver for the Colorado Buffaloes, and Brandon Dorius, defensive end out of Oregon.
Yeah, it's a flexible big guy that you can put on the end. But watch what Dorius does as far as the way you can get to the quarterback and disrupt things.
Right, and the thing is Colorado doesn't really have – they're not really great on the line. On either side.
This is number 19 versus number 10 in college football. Well, Colorado, you're right about the attention. So I'm coming home last night after the Chiefs game, and there's Deion Sanders. But it was 60
minutes. He was on 60 minutes. It was on 60 minutes.
It was 60. So last week they had the Pat McAfee show there. They had College Game Day.
Yeah.
Big noon kickoff. And you had 60 freaking minutes.
I know, right?
At Colorado.
He's become the biggest story in the sport.
In his sunglasses because of Norvell's comments?
Yes.
That's now made $4.5 million off Bender sunglasses that sells the Dion.
Blender.
Blenders, excuse me. Blender sunglasses. Deion knows what he's doing. You know, yeah. He had those things out on the set, the McAfee. And
he was giving them out to his players after Jay Norvell was running his mouth.
Stephen A. Smith and stuff. Man, that's just like the marketing. Deion knows what he's doing.
Deion is a marketing genius. I don't want to get a pair of the black or gold ones that are his brand. I want to get a pair of the gray ones that they have on there in the store. Really like those. But
on a side note, I love seeing the Rocky Mountains behind it.
Yeah, it's cool.
That whole scene, it's nice to see football back at Colorado. But he's got the blue. I mean, again, 80 new players through the portal. And, you know, people are complaining about the portal. Hey, this is what teams do. It used to be, all right, let's grab as many JUCO guys as we can. Now it's the portal, and you're getting NFL-caliber players in the portal.
And or it was, let's load up on as many players at each position as we possibly can. And now teams can't overpromise. Because, before, you had to sit out a year, so you had to waste a year of eligibility. Now you can't. You don't need to.
Portal. Michael Penix Jr., portal. Bo Nix, portal.
Yeah.
I mean,
Jalen Hurts was a portal
guy. Shooter Sanders,
Joe portal. Burrow was a portal
they
guy.
They were the portal.
All these guys are going through the portal now.
That's right.
So this idea, teams can't, like Alabama can't over-recruit and just store guys on their roster.
And scouts have to figure out where the hell you went.
Exactly.
You Southeast scout out there looking at the West Coast.
Exactly. So these guys are going to leave now. So teams can't over-recruit. So it's hurt teams like Alabama and Clemson, who were regular over-recruiters. Now they can't do that because if they do, those guys are just going to dip and go elsewhere. So the transfer portal is big. The biggest thing that's hurt Clemson, the fact that they don't use the transfer portal, which is the reason why Clemson right now is losing relevancy in college football. Another big matchup that's going on.
It's free agency with NFL talent.
I know. Yeah, it's awesome. I love it. Number 20, Miami's going to take on Temple. We have talked about Miami all year long. Miami might have the best offensive line in college football this year. It's either them or Notre Dame. Both tackles are going to be players to watch.
And Zion Nelson. Cohen, the transfer from Alabama.
Exactly,
was an all-SEC guy at Bama, now at Miami.
But, yeah, Francis Maui-Goa and Zion Nelson, both tackles there. If you're a Chiefs fan, you should be watching these guys because the Chiefs are very likely, I think, to take at least one tackle in next year's draft. I think Donovan Smith is not long for Kansas City. There are times where he just looks like he looks his age.
Yeah, you're looking at first round and you're thinking, okay, you want wide receiver. Well, at least I want wide receiver, but then you can be sold into tackle and you can be sold into defensive lineman.
Yeah, I think tackle might be a priority position just because of how hard it is to find.
Even a Cohen that's in Miami that was at Alabama as a guard.
Yeah.
Because you got to figure stuff out here, all right? You're paying Tooney all that money, and they're going to have to pay Trey Smith down the line too.
Yeah, I think they would. I think, and certainly guard, though, is probably like maybe third day, I think, if they go that route. Third day, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Chiefs decided Nick Allegretti be the starting left guard in the future, for now. Because, the Chiefs guard, they don't really put a ton of value in, aside from the Tooney contract. It's not a position they go super high on. Tackle, though, they value it a lot. So, to me, tackle is going to be a big position. And then defensive tackle, because we don't know what the future is with Chris Jones, Leonard Taylor, for sure. Arkansas taking on LSU, number 12 in the nation. Now that we're looking at wide receivers, because the wide receivers haven't been that great in Kansas City. Wide receiver Malik Nabers at LSU might not be there late first round, but you never know.
Let's introduce you to Malik Nabers.
He's a reception machine, PPR machine, if there was, if you're doing any sort of college football fantasy. He's top five in the I think he's number three in the nation in receptions. But Nabers is going to be a guy to watch.
One thing about Nabers is, I mean, we're talking text guys. I remember I used to text Trez all the time. We text each other back and forth, like juice players.
Right.
Malik Nabers, this is
he had a massive game this past
week. He's 6'200". Again, we're talking big receivers.
Yeah.
He had 13 catches for 239. I remember texting you at halftime.
You did.
He was like, what, 9 at 180?
He was like 183 or 189, yeah, something like that.
He ends up with 13 for 239. He had 5 for 87 and 6 for 87 or 67 the first two games. But he exploded. And, he's already 3 touchdowns on the year as well. But watch Malik Nabers. That's in Mason Smith. Those are the defensive tackle who did not play in that first game.
In the first game against Florida State, but that's a guy I think definitely Mason Smith you want to watch out for, because the Chiefs, he's probably not going to be a first day guy, but second day he might end up getting his value right there. I think if you're a Chiefs fan, you want to be looking out for that, because defensive tackle is going to be a very big position, I think, for the Chiefs in the draft.
Also, I put Mekhi Wingo. I mean, they're loaded defensive tackle. He's one of the better defensive tackles.
LSU usually has a good stock of defensive
linemen. Savion Jones is another guy, a defensive end for LSU. And Ryan Sage, the safety, that could do a lot of different things, nickel or play safety for LSU.
Right.
But a lot of players to watch on there for LSU. That defensive line, that's an NFL factory. As far as Arkansas, KJ Jefferson, only reason being, how many quarterbacks can he get? Because he was mocked in the first round early on. I don't think he's a first round quarterback.
I think he's probably a third day.
And Bo Leamer, he's an offensive guard. So he's a center for Arkansas.
We'll just go offensive guard
at the next level.
Yeah. Interior offensive lineman. We'll go with that designation. Then you have Rutgers at number 2, Michigan. Defensive tackle Chris Jenkins is going to be a guy to watch for. He's an athletic freak. Also,
I'd say top 5 defensive tackle.
Yeah, you have J.J. McCarthy, who could be a first-round quarterback. Two running backs there that I think are going to be very interesting to watch are Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards.
I think it's the best tandem.
Out of Michigan, best tandem in college football right now. I think both those guys go second day. I think for sure second day both of those guys are going there. Texas, number 3, going to Waco to play against the Baylor Bears. The guy that we're probably going to be talking about so much, Jatavion Sanders, playing for Texas. I think he is creating a case. It's not super strong right now because Bowers has more of a work history, a nice little work history that we can look at and say, hey, you know, we know what he can do. But Sanders is showing something. I think he's shown something throughout the short season that we've had thus far. I think he very well has another chance to make a case for him being the top tight end.
No question. There are two leading receivers, Xavier Worthy, another guy at wide receiver.
That's an option.
Xavier Worthy, 6'1", 172.
Yeah.
But Worthy 16 for 221 this year. Sanders is interesting to me, and I even tweeted out, which I don't do a ton of during games, but occasionally I do when things piss me off, and not throwing to Sanders against Rice was pissing me off because we struggled there for a while.
They were
2 for 44 and a touchdown. Yeah. Right, he's a big play. Then 5 for 114 against Alabama, but threw the ball to Jatavion Sanders.
And then there's also a defensive tackle that they've actually got a couple of guys at Texas, Tavondre Sweat, and they also got Byron Murphy II, defensive tackles there for Texas. Both guys to watch for. And then, obviously, quarterback Quinn Ewers, who could be a first-round pick at quarterback there for Texas, is another.
I think he's as good as locked himself in the first round.
He's another transfer portal guy from Ohio State. So
skipped the senior year of high school.
Yeah, just skipped it and was like, no, I'm going to just go to college. I think from a quality standpoint, it probably is the best game of the week, even though Colorado and Oregon is going to be the most hyped game of the week. Ohio State makes the trip over to South Bend to take on Notre Dame. So many guys to watch here in this game. Both tackles for Notre Dame in Joe Alt, Blake Fisher. Those are, again, options for the Chiefs. I think there's a very good chance that you're right about that. Like either them or the tackle tandem in Miami. These are going to be guys to watch because one of them could be a Chief. Probably more than likely Blake Fisher than Joe Alt in that scenario. Wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr., who's still probably locked in as the top wide receiver.
He has exploded the last 2 weeks.
He had
the fastest time in college football. He's over 22 miles an hour.
Yeah, he's killing it right now after some hiccups early in the season. Yeah. And then Emeka Egbuka, their other wide receiver on the opposite side there for Ohio State, that's going to be an option for sure.
And Jack Sawyer, one of the edges.
Right, another one of the edge rushers, JT. I don't want to butcher his name. I don't have it in front of me. I don't have his name in front of me right now.
Two receivers to watch.
I don't want to butcher.
Both edges to watch for Ohio State. They're absolutely loaded.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs don't go Ohio State.
Yeah, they don't. So, again, may not mean much. But again, the two tackles there for Notre Dame could be options for them as well.
And Cam Hart, the corner for North Carolina, that's right. A guy too. I think is going to be garnering some you know, day two attention.
I think so too. I think so too. Then Cal Washington. This, I think, for the Chiefs, this could be a very big matchup there, mainly because of the wide receivers. Because you got Romo Odunze, and you've got Jalen McMillan. I don't think Odunze will be there late in the first round. I do think Jalen McMillan could be an option.
McMillan could be still there at that time.
And he might be the better of the two. He might be the more electric of the two and fit in more with what the Chiefs like to do.
And Cal doesn't have anybody to watch.
No, there's nobody to watch. Like, literally, I think I have one prospect on my watch list from Cal. That's it. But, yeah, this is all about Penix Jr., Odunze, and McMillan. Those are the three guys you want to watch here.
Because with Romo Odunze, he's got 22 for 419.
Right.
Which is insane.
Yeah, he's had a hell of a year.
Jalen McMillan, 20 for 311. I mean, those guys have delivered. Jalen had that 120-yard game 2 weeks ago, 96 this past week. But again, the averages, 24, 15, and 11.9. Yeah. I mean, 15.6 on the year. Again, you're talking separation. And you're talking Jalen McMillan, another guy over 6'1".
Yeah, and he's a big – and the thing is, he's a big play guy.
6'1", 191.
He's a down-the-field type of guy. Penix will throw it up there. He'll go get it and score, you know. He'll go win a 50-50 ball and score on it. So he might be a really great option late first round for the Chiefs if he's available there. And then our final game to watch for this weekend, Florida State at Clemson. Clemson has some good players. They don't have quite the game-breaking talent that they've once had. Florida State, though, has a ton. The wide receiver options here, I think, are great. Johnny Wilson Jr., probably a mid-first-round guy. I can see a lot of people talking themselves into him. Similar,
big.
Like
he's 6'7".
Big, 6'7". He's basically just a more mobile tight end. He's a Mike Evans type of guy. And then you have Keon Coleman, who is also big. He's 6'4", but he does not play like he's a
Kansas,
big guy. Former Kansas recruit. But Keon Coleman is a very athletic 6'4". He's not a big – he doesn't play like he's 6'4". He plays like he's like 6 foot. And he's a guy that can go fade, but he can also catch it and run. Johnny Wilson Jr. plays very much kind of just like a tight end, basically, even though he's a wide receiver.
This is the early one, 11 a.m.
Yes.
I will say this, though. A couple guys on Clemson. Well, obviously, Jared Verse, throw him on.
Yeah, Jared Verse, yeah.
Florida State. But Jeremiah Trotter plays middle linebacker at Clemson. And Barrett Carter plays the will linebacker.
They got good linebackers.
They do. Clemson can go around. And also, it's safety. Andrew Makuba. Mm-hmm. is a good safety for him. And their corner, Nate Wiggins. So, again, their defense at Clemson, the corner safety. Right. And the middle linebacker with Trotter and Barrett Carter, their will linebacker, could be options for Kansas City.
Wiggins could be a mid to late first round pick. I don't think the Chiefs are going to be very interested in corner this year. So,
my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chiefs don't have to go first round.
Yeah.
With the receiver, they could afford to go get one second day, maybe or early third day, but probably second day, and you could get someone that kind of fits the mold of what they like with the speed and the versatility as far as being able to move inside, outside. There's going to be options there, I think, for them. Certainly, obviously.
I never bought the excuses that were used on receivers last year. I was like, sit there and watch Zay Flowers. See what he can do.
He's been great.
He's been great.
He's been awesome.
And some of these rookie receivers have been good. And we talked about Puka going in the fifth round. I mean, the receivers are there. And this year, the receivers are going to get a lot of talk, just like the quarterbacks, obviously. Because we could have the more quarterbacks draft in the first round than we did going back to 1983.
Yeah, it could be. It is very possible that it's a record year for the quarterback
in the first round.
So, want to get to our Week 4 watch list. Teams to watch, players to watch. I think the big one, the one that everyone's going to be talking about this week, Colorado taking on Oregon. Colorado has become box office television. They have become the most interesting team in college football. And you've got big quarterback matchup here. Shedeur Sanders, potential first-round quarterback. Bo Nix, probably not a first-round. You heard him talked about at the beginning of the year. Not quite there right now. Maybe a second-day guy.
Bo Nix was looked at as a first-round guy. Yeah. Shedeur was
potential late first-round.
Now Shedeur. Now Shedeur's overtaking him. His third-best quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, Mel Kiper, though. But Bo Nix is probably going to be, I think, somewhere in the mix second-day. Going to be a project guy similar to like what Hendon Hooker was.
Penzo, man, he's still flirting with first-round.
Possibly. I kind of have my doubts about Nix. But you also have Xavier Weaver, who we just talked about, wide receiver for the Colorado Buffaloes, and Brandon Dorius, defensive end out of Oregon.
Yeah, it's a flexible big guy that you can put on the end. But watch what Dorius does as far as the way he can get to the quarterback and disrupt things.
Right, and the thing is Colorado doesn't really have – they're not really great on the line. On either side.
This is number 19 versus number 10 in college football. Colorado, you're right about the attention. So I'm coming home last night after the Chiefs game, and there's Deion Sanders. But it was 60
minutes. He was on 60 minutes. He was on 60 minutes.
It was 60. So last week they had the Pat McAfee show there. They had college game day.
Yeah.
Big noon kickoff. And you had 60 freaking minutes.
I know, right?
At Colorado.
He's become the biggest story in the sport.
In his sunglasses because of Norvell's comments?
Yes.
That's now made $4.5 million off Bender sunglasses that sells the Deion.
Blender.
Blender sunglasses. Deion knows what he's doing. You know, getting those things out on the set to McAfee. And
he was giving them out to his players after Jay Norvell was running his mouth.
Stephen A. Smith and stuff. Man, that's just like the marketing. Deion knows what he's doing.
Deion is a marketing genius. I don't want to get a pair of the black or gold ones that are his brand. I want to get a pair of the gray ones that they have on there in the store. Really like those. But
on a side note, I love seeing the Rocky Mountains behind it.
Yeah, it's
and
cool.
That whole scene, it's nice to see football. Back at Colorado, but he's got the blue. I mean, again, 80 new players through the portal, and people are complaining about the portal. Hey, this is what teams do. It used to be, all right, let's grab as many JUCO guys as we can. Now it's the portal, and you're getting NFL caliber players in the portal.
And or it was, let's load up on as many players at each position as we possibly can. And now teams can't overpromise. Because before you had to sit out a year, so you had to waste a year of eligibility. Now you can't.
Portal. Michael Penix Jr. Portal. Bo Nix Portal.
Yeah.
I mean,
Jalen Hurts was a portal
guy. Shedeur Sanders.
Joe Burrow was a portal guy.
They were the portal.
All these guys are going through the portal now.
That's right.
So this idea, teams can't like Alabama can't over recruit and just store guys on their roster.
And scouts have to figure out where the hell you went.
Exactly.
Be a Southeast scout out there looking at the West Coast.
Exactly. So these guys are going to leave now. So teams can't over-recruit. So it's hurt teams like Alabama and Clemson, who were regular over-recruiters. Now they can't do that because if they do, those guys are just going to dip and go elsewhere. So the transfer portal is big. The biggest thing that's hurt Clemson, The fact that they don't use the transfer portal, which is the reason why Clemson right now is losing relevancy in college football. Another big matchup that's going on.
It's free agency with NFL talent.
I know, yeah, right? It's awesome. I love it. Number 20, Miami's going to take on Temple. We have talked about Miami all year long. Miami might have the best offensive line in college football this year. It's either them or Notre Dame. Both tackles are going to be players to watch.
And the Zion guard, Nelson. The one that transferred from Alabama.
Exactly,
was an all-SEC guy at Bama, now at Miami.
But, yeah, Francis Maui-Goa and Zion Nelson, both tackles there. If you're a Chiefs fan, you should be watching these guys because the Chiefs are very likely, I think, to take at least one tackle in this year's draft, in next year's draft. I think Donovan Smith is not long for Kansas City. There are times where he just looks like he looks his age.
Yeah, you're looking at first round and you're thinking, okay, you want wide receiver. Well, at least I want wide receiver, but then you can be sold into tackle and you can be sold into defensive lineman.
Yeah, I think tackle might be a priority position just because of how hard it is to find.
What do you think of JV on Cohen that's in Miami that was at Alabama? As a guard?
Yeah.
Because you got to figure stuff out here, all right? You're paying Tooney all that money, and they're going to have to pay Trey Smith down the line, too.
Yeah, I think they would. I think, and certainly guard, though, is probably like maybe third day, I think, if they go that route. Third day. But I wouldn't be shocked if the Chiefs decided Nick Allegretti be the starting left guard in the future, for now. Because, like, the Chiefs. Guard, they don't really put a ton of value in. Aside from the Tooney contract, it's not a position they go super high on. Tackle, though, they value it a lot. So, to me, tackle is going to be a big position. And then defensive tackle, because we don't know what the future is with Chris Jones, Leonard Taylor for sure. Arkansas taking on LSU, number 12 in the nation. Now that we're looking at wide receivers, because the wide receivers haven't been that great in Kansas City. Wide receiver Malik Nabers at LSU might not be there late first round, but you never know.
Let's introduce you to Malik Nabers.
He is a reception machine, PPR machine. If there was, you know, if you're doing any sort of college football fantasy, he's top five I think he's number three in the nation in receptions. But Nabers is going to be a guy to watch.
And one thing about Nabers is, I mean, we're talking text guys. I remember I used to text Trez all the time. We text each other back and forth, like juice players,
right?
Malik Nabers, this is
he had a massive game this past
week. He's 6'2", 200. Again, we're talking big receivers.
Yeah.
He had 13 catches for 239. I remember texting you at halftime.
You did.
He was like, what, 9 at 180?
He was like 183 or 189, yeah, something like that.
And he ends up with 13 for 239. He had 5 for 87 and 6 for 87 or 67 the first two games. But he exploded. And, he's already 3 touchdowns on the year as well. But watch Malik Nabers. That's in Mason Smith. Those are the defensive tackle who did not play in that first game.
Did not play in the first game against Florida State, but that's a guy I think definitely Mason Smith you want to watch out for because the Chiefs, he's probably not going to be a first day guy, but second day he might end up getting his value right there. I think if you're a Chiefs fan, you want to be looking out for that because defensive tackle is going to be a very big position, I think, for the Chiefs in the draft.
Also, I put Mekhi Wingo. I mean, they're loaded defensive tackle. He's one of the better defensive tackles.
LSU usually has a good stock of defensive
line. Savion Jones is another guy, a defensive end for LSU. And Ryan Sage, the safety, that can do a lot of different things, nickel or play safety for LSU.
Right.
But a lot of players to watch on there for LSU. That defensive line, that's an NFL factory. As far as Arkansas, KJ Jefferson, only reason being, how many quarterbacks can he get? Because he was mocked in the first round early on.
I don't think he's a first round quarterback. I think he's probably a third day.
And Bo Leamer, he's an offensive guard. So he's a center for Arkansas.
Interior offensive lineman.
Can play offensive guard at the next level.
Yeah. Interior offensive lineman. We'll go with that designation. Then you have Rutgers at number 2, Michigan. Defensive tackle Chris Jenkins is going to be a guy to watch for. He's an athletic freak. Also,
I'd say top 5 defensive tackle.
Yeah, you have J.J. McCarthy, who could be a first-round quarterback. Two running backs there that I think are going to be very interesting to watch are Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards.
I think it's the best tandem.
Out of Michigan, best tandem in college football right now. Both of those guys, I think both those guys go second day. I think for sure second day both of those guys are going there. Texas, number 3, going to Waco to play against the Baylor Bears. The guy that we're probably going to be talking about so much, Jatavion Sanders, playing for Texas. I think he is creating a case. It's not super strong right now because Bowers has more of a work history, a nice little work history that we can look at and say, hey, you know, we know what he can do. But Sanders is showing something. I think he's shown something throughout the short season that we've had thus far. I think he very well has another chance to make a case for him being the top tight end.
No question. There are two leading receivers, Xavier Worthy, another guy at wide receiver.
That's an option.
A guy over 6 foot. Another guy at 6 foot. What is Xavier Worthy? 6'1", 172.
Yeah.
But Worthy 16 for 221 this year. Sanders is interesting to me, and I even tweeted out, which I don't do a ton of during games, but occasionally I do when things piss me off. And not throwing to Sanders against Rice was pissing me off because we struggled there for a while.
They were
2 for 44 and a touchdown. Yeah. Right, he's a big play. Then 5 for 114 against Alabama, but threw the ball to Jatavion Sanders.
And then there's also a defensive tackle that they've actually got a couple of guys at Texas, Tavondre Sweat, and they also got Byron Murphy II, defensive tackles there for Texas. Both guys to watch for. And then obviously quarterback Quinn Ewers, who could be a first round pick at quarterback there for Texas, is another.
I think he's as good as locked himself in the first round.
Yeah, he's another transfer portal guy from Ohio State. So
skipped the senior year of high school.
Yeah, just skipped it and was like, no, I'm gonna just go to college. I think from a quality standpoint, it probably is the best game of the week, even though Colorado and Oregon is going to be the most hyped game of the week. Ohio State makes the trip over to South Bend to take on Notre Dame. So many guys to watch here in this game. Both tackles for Notre Dame in Joe Alt, Blake Fisher. Those are, again, options for the Chiefs. If they
want the best tackles in college, tandem. Not the best to the best tackles.
I think there's a very good chance that you're right about that. Like either them or the tackle tandem in Miami. These are going to be guys to watch because one of them could be a Chief. Probably more than likely Blake Fisher than Joe Alt in that scenario. Wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr., who's still probably locked in as the top wide receiver.
He has exploded the last 2 weeks.
Yeah,
he had the fastest time in college football. He's over 22 miles an hour.
Yeah, he's killing it right now after some hiccups early in the season. Yeah. And then Emeka Egbuka, their other wide receiver on the opposite side there for Ohio State, that's going to be an option for sure.
And Jack Sawyer, one of the edges.
Right, another one of the edge rushers, JT. I don't want to butcher his name. I don't have it in front of me.
Two receivers to
watch. I don't
want
to butcher.
Both edges to watch for Ohio State. They're absolutely loaded.
Yeah. So that's.
But
that's,
the Chiefs don't go Ohio State.
Yeah, they don't. So that, again, may not mean much. But again, the two tackles there for Notre Dame could be options for them as well.
And Cam Hart, the corner for North Carolina, that's a guy, too, I think is going to be garnering some day two attention.
I think so, too. I think so, too. Then Cal Washington. This, I think, for the Chiefs, this could be a very big matchup there, mainly because of the wide receivers. Because you got Romo Odunze, and you've got Jalen McMillan. I don't think Odunze will be there late in the first round. I do think Jalen McMillan could be an option.
McMillan could be still there at that time.
And he might be the better of the two. He might be the more electric of the two and fit in more with what the Chiefs like to do.
And Cal doesn't have anybody to watch.
No, there's nobody to watch. Like, literally, I think I have one prospect on my watch list from Cal. That's it. This is all about Penix Jr., Odunze, and McMillan. Those are the three guys you want to watch here.
Because with Romo Odunze, he's got 22 for 419.
Right.
Which is insane.
Yeah, he's had a hell of a year.
Jalen McMillan, 20 for 311. I mean, those guys have delivered. Jalen had that 120-yard game 2 weeks ago, 96 this past week. But again, the averages, 24, 15, and 11.9. Yeah. I mean, 15.6 on the year. Again, you're talking separation. And you're talking Jalen McMillan, another guy over 6'1".
Yeah, and he's a big – and the thing is, he's a big play guy.
6'1", 191.
He's a down-the-field type of guy. Penix will throw it up there. He'll go get it and score. You know, he'll go win a 50-50 ball and score on it. So he might be a really great option late first round for the Chiefs if he's available there. And then our final game to watch for this weekend, Florida State at Clemson. Clemson has some good players – they don't have quite the breaking game-breaking talent that they've once had. Florida State, though, has a ton. The wide receiver options here, I think, are great. Johnny Wilson Jr., probably a mid-first-round guy. I can see a lot of people talking themselves into him. Similar,
big,
like,
he's 6'7".
Big, 6'7". He's basically just a more mobile tight end. He's a Mike Evans type of guy. And then you have Keon Coleman, who is also big. He's 6'4", but he does not play like
former
he's a
Kansas,
big guy. Former Kansas recruit. But Keon Coleman is a very athletic 6'4". He's not a big, he doesn't play like he's 6'4". He plays like he's like 6 foot. And he's a guy that can go fade, but he can also catch it and run. Johnny Wilson Jr. plays very much kind of just like a tight end, basically, even though he's a wide receiver.
This is the early one, 11 a.m.
Yes.
I will say this, though. A couple guys on Clemson. Well, obviously, Jared Verse, throw him on
yeah, Jared
the
edge Verse, yeah.
Florida State. But Jeremiah Trotter plays middle linebacker at Clemson. And Barrett Carter plays the will linebacker.
They got good linebackers.
Yeah, they do. Clemson can go around. And also, it's safety, Andrew Makuba. Mm-hmm. is a good safety for him, and their corner, Nate Wiggins. So, again, their defense at Clemson, the corner safety, right. and the middle linebacker with Trotter and Barrett Carter, their will linebacker, could be options for Kansas City.
Wiggins could be a mid to late first-round pick. I don't think the Chiefs are going to be very interested in corner this year. So that could actually be something that helps get one of those wide receivers or tackles to the Chiefs where they would like to be able to pick them late in the first. So, but yeah, I think this is, you know, with the Colorado-Oregon matchup and with the Ohio State and Notre Dame matchup, two really big games there to watch. Still, tons of great prospects. The wide receiver class looks so much better this year.
Wait till the combine of the wide receiver.
Oh, man, me too. I'm really excited. Even though last year's class, I think, was very underrated.
They were underrated.
Like, Jalen Hyatt had, like, 89 yards last week.
For no reason.
Yesterday. So, like, I think a lot of people took a crap on that receiver class a little bit unnecessarily, and these guys are showing what they can do. So, you've got some options here. There's a lot of good receivers to watch out for. There's some good DTs to watch out for as well. Didn't even bring up Jazon Newton for Illinois, who Illinois has been having a terrible year this year. I don't think Bielema was long for that
team. All-American. They lose three guys in the first three rounds of the draft last
year. It's been tough.
And that's not including Chase Brown. They're one of the leading rookies in the nation.
Yeah, he got drafted. Yeah,
but they lose three defensive players in the first three rounds.
Yeah, it's been tough for them. They have not done a very good job. Bielema didn't do a very good job of making sure he had some guys lined up to replace that talent.
And they lose their defensive coordinator.
Yeah, they also lost him as well. So it's been tough for Illinois there. But certainly if you want to catch Illinois, Jazon Newton, their top defensive tackle there, who I've seen a lot of stuff, him being the top defensive tackle. That's another guy to watch out for. But with that, we leave you. We finish it off for the week. Next week, we will have more reactions to the performances of the top recruiting talents out there. We'll also keep you up to date on how some of these Chiefs rookies are doing, because I think there's some guys that we've talked about, that we've hyped up, that are starting to show a little something, and I think we could talk about that. We can elaborate more on that next week.
So, at this point, Snacks was inactive.
And then also on top of that, we will preview you with the top matchups, the watch list, best prospects to watch out for. Again, thank you for listening to us. For Jay Binkley, I'm Kirsten Ocero, and this has been Character Concerns.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.